We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back, folks. I always love these types of stories when the underdog, you know, wins it all. And I know a lot about soccer clubs. Both of my children played in soccer clubs, been there in intense competition for a number of years. And it's always really exciting to celebrate the win of a team that comes together. And joining us is Coach Lee Westlake, director of coaching the New Orleans Spartans Football Club. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheriff Newell. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Coach, if you would, let's start out. Tell us about the Spartans, who they are, why they are, and how they went about this journey.
Okay, so we're an idea that came about around 2011. A bunch of parents, probably three or four parents, decided that they had some special talent as children, and they wanted to provide something that maybe wasn't available in Louisiana, something affordable, something that's not out of reach for people in Louisiana. Fast forward a few years to 2014, 2015, I was approached as a player here in New Orleans to come in and take the title of director of coaching of a soccer club that has amazing visions. And I was grateful. As a player, it was kind of a dream job for me. So I stepped into a director of coaching role, and for the next 11 years, we managed to build the club from kind of three teams all the way up to 11 teams at one point. It became rather big, a lot to manage. So we downsized the following year to six teams. It's been an incredible journey. The successes these boys have had. You know, we have 100 kids in our club, and we faced clubs of 1,000 plus, hundreds of kids in their club, and had some tremendous success over the years to this point where we're at national champions.
So, obviously, these travel clubs, they travel all around. You're playing, as you point out, clubs that have a lot more kids and a lot more sponsors. I remember my children playing clubs that were sponsored by Nike. I remember the first time we walked out on the field and we looked at our uniforms and we looked at theirs. And we felt like the Bad News Bears. I'm sure y'all had that same experience.
Yeah, we still do, honestly. I mean, it's incredible what these families and what these kids have achieved. I couldn't agree more. We are that, and we still are that. When you talk about uniforms, let's talk about resources. We just don't have fields. I mean, you're talking about clubs that have 5, 6, 7 fields, up to 10 fields in their organizations. You know, we have the support of City Park, which have been fantastic for us, but we still only have one field, and we have six teams to make it happen.
Yeah, and access to a field with our type of weather, too, is critical because you cancel almost as many practices as you have, probably. So it's just, you know.
Agreed.
It is quite the challenge. So tell us about the season leading up to going to Tampa to play in this tournament.
Yeah, the boys were led by Coach Josie Portillo, one of my technical director here at the club, for all of their league games, full of highs and lows. It was one of those seasons where you're walking away from the field, losing by a goal, and kind of feeling a little bit hard done by. With that said, the boys managed to qualify for President's Cup here in Louisiana after not such a great regular season. So going into that kind of state playoffs, if you like, put a lot of pressure on the boys to perform. They performed very, very well. They were able to come out of state unbeaten, and managed to make their way to regionals. Regionals for us, we've been there a few times, but I'm sure you're aware, Sheriff, it's not an easy level. It's got a high level of football at the regional level.
You're
starting to bring Texas into the equation, you know, North and South Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida. They're super powerhouses. So we went into regionals and said, you know what, if we can make the Final Four, this will be incredible for us as an organization. So to go through regionals, first few games, we get there, we get a win, we get another win, and we're thinking, hold on a minute, this isn't normal, this is not something we're used to. And then we head to the final, and unfortunately we fell short in the final of regionals. It was really hard on the boys because we'd already crushed that first goal of making the Final Four, and to make that final was absolutely incredible for us and for Louisiana, I have to be honest. We lose that final 3-2, so we were a little hard on ourselves, and as we were about to pack up our staffs and leave the area, we get approached by our state, and they say, hey guys, you've managed to punch a ticket to Nationals, you've got a wild card. And obviously the kids are ecstatic, and now our eyes are lit up, they've wiped the tears away, and we've got an exciting trip to Nationals. Now Nationals is a whole different juggernaut of itself. We go into Nationals again, that set some goals, that set some targets, so we set the target of Final Four, a massive, massive target. And a massive undertaking for these boys that I may say have been with us in this club for 8 years plus, the majority of these players. So they're a real homegrown talent here at the New Orleans Spartans. We head into Nationals, again, some great teams. Six of the eight teams, actually, that went in there were Division I teams that had also dropped down like us. So we had some real good competition out there, and like I said, everything was on our side, and long story short, we were able to go out there and put a real performance together and overcome some massive adversity. We actually had to play the team we lost to in the first game of the national tournament in the semi-final, and we managed to beat those guys 1-0. So we overcome that first loss of Nationals to face that team in semi-finals, which again was massive for these boys. Heading into the final of the national championship, we now have to face the team out of Florida that we lost to in the regional final. So nerves, a lot on the line, but I knew my boys. I believed in the boys. Coach Josh and I believed in the boys, and we knew we had the mental toughness and the tenacity to overcome that loss and lift that trophy and bring it back to the boot in Louisiana. And that's exactly what the boys did. They dug their heels in, and they got stuck in for a full 80 minutes of football in say 90 degree heat, so very similar to here in Louisiana, out there in Florida, yeah. And took that team to overtime, and managed to score two goals in overtime to win the game 4-2. Just an incredible, incredible achievement.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
The team, a lot of different kids from a lot of different walks of life, right? From what I'm able to read, a very diverse team. Tell us about that and tell us how important that was to the psyche, the makeup of the team, the emotion of the team, and otherwise.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Lots of diversity within the team, and it was the perfect mix. You know, when we put teams together as coaches, we try to have that right mix of that mental toughness as well as some good quality technical players. So having those kids from different backgrounds really was like a great puzzle that we put together, which made all the difference. Like you said, we have kids coming from different walks of life, different social backgrounds that bring very different things to the game of soccer. And without that makeup, I don't think we would have had the success we've had. I mean, we have players that are coming from private schools. We also have kids that are in public schools that I don't have the finances to get themselves to and from practice, let alone to and from a national championship or regional tournament. So that gives you an idea of the spectrum of players that we have.
And as a coach, that makes it the task all the more difficult, right? I mean, there's a beautiful upside to that, but there's also challenges to that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the financial things are really, you know, a big kicker for us. We've got players that, you know, one in four players in my club is on financial aid. And managing that as a director of coaching isn't easy because, you know, you're looking at expectations of everybody. The beautiful thing about our small club and our culture and what we've built here is it's a very accepting club. And our parents and players and the staff, the back staff, the board that I have are willing to do whatever it takes to make sure everybody's on the same level, which is just commendable.
You know what I love about the growth of soccer in this country? Coach, where are you from?
Well, I'm born and raised in London, England.
Yeah. So the culture of this game is entirely different from where you come from to here, right? Is that a fair characterization?
Absolutely.
I'm always amazed by the kids because there's so much pressure to do the sport, you know, of the way that y'all look at football as opposed to the way that we look at soccer. And mm-hmm. and in many respects, it's not a sacrifice, really, if you know what I mean, to make a decision in England to go play soccer. In the United States, in many respects, it still is. Not as bad as it once was. You know, with peer pressure, because it's, you know, it's become a much more accepting sport, and it's a growing sport, thankfully, because I actually love the sport, and I love watching it. But it makes it a little tougher here.
Yeah, it definitely does. Again, you know, when I talk to friends back at home in England, and they're asking me what I'm doing, when am I coming back, when am I going to come back and to coach the real game, it's an interesting quote to hear something like that, because I really feel the game, like you said, is growing here. Louisiana, I'd say, is getting there slowly but surely. And I think having these national titles here in Louisiana is really going to shine a light on the players that we have here. And again, to get to your point, that sacrifice should be lower. It shouldn't be such a sacrifice for families financially and the burden of having, you know, multiple kids in the family. The travel for soccer nowadays, there's a lot of expectation with it. So I guess my point is having this national title is now going to take, you know, make some of that worth it. Parents are going to say, you know what, this is a great sport. Louisiana's really doing something with soccer that starts to push our kids into that. And as you said, it's a growing sport. So those national titles are going to do nothing but great things for our parents and players here in Louisiana.
I'm sure there's a lot of curiosity out there. I've been curious about it. Are there recognizable differences between the way you're playing soccer in the UK and the way we play soccer here in the US?
Again, I think that's you could take each club by club and each coach by coach and team by team. I think, you know, the vision and philosophy that we have here and the methodologies that we use here at our club are very similar to what you could expect a club to have anywhere in Europe. Now you're talking about the influence of European players and European coaches and European finances coming into the US game. So you're starting to see the culture and the style of play change. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, because I got to imagine that there's a desire in Europe to grow the sport even bigger than what it is there now. It's hard to imagine that it can get bigger, but I guess it can, right?
In some capacity, I imagine it can, but in Europe, we very much live for the sport. We very much live for the sport. So it's the first sport on the weekends. Who's my team playing or who am I playing? And in America, hopefully, and in Louisiana, that's going to be the case in the coming years, especially with a World Cup right down the corner.
Coach Lee Westlake, congratulations to you and your members of the New Orleans Spartans Football Club. We are very proud of that accomplishment. And if you pass that on to the players, we'd certainly appreciate it. And we'd like to have you back on whenever you want to talk about soccer again.
Sure.
Or football.
Really appreciate you taking the
excuse
time.
Me.
you can refer yourself to all good. Thanks again, Sher, for having us. Thank you for taking the time. It means a lot to us. And let's make soccer big
Thank
in Louisiana,
you.
Huh?
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Coach Lee Westlake, Director of Coaching New Orleans Spartans Football Club. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.